Hey guys, welcome to Rebuilding Ruins. It's your girl Amina joining me for the second time. Yes, we got a story to tell about that. Is my good friends Nick and Chelsea. Say hi, Nick and Chelsea. Woo! Yes, we are so excited. So we had actually filmed this before and boring details. It didn't pan out. We're redoing it again. And so that's okay. So that makes me think there's really something that is warring against the message that is trying to be presented, because what all happened never happens to me, and it did. So anyways, I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it because Nick has a really awesome dream that he's going to share. It's really impactful and powerful, and I feel like it confirms a lot. So I'm going to let you take it, Nick, and do your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to start with the Bible verse.
Good luck.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit onto the flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maiden servants, I will pour my spirit out onto those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
So now I'm going to read the dream. We were in a neighborhood we had never seen before, and the sky started to change colors. The sun slowly turned into a crescent, then disappeared completely, and it was total darkness. Nick turned to pick up our kids to put inside and realized they were gone. Nick instantly thanked God for taking our children. Everyone was outside looking up. Nick yelled at everyone to get inside and grabbed me and dragged me inside because I was fixated on the sky. When we went inside, Nick said we need to pray. Apparently, I said, F that, we need to run. Nick hears the whole world screaming at once, so he looked outside. He saw a tear in the sky and he saw Jesus weeping for his people. Outside, there were 10-foot tall beings with hog heads and horns on their heads, and horns coming out of their mouths. They had extremely long arms with hooks for hands, and they were grabbing people, hundreds of people at a time. As people were grabbed, they screamed and caught fire. Jesus saw all of this and wept. Nick almost couldn't look away. Then he heard me screaming. He turned and watched me being dragged away by the beast. He said he'd never seen a face contort with such fear. He picked up his sword to save me from the beast's clutches, but he couldn't catch up no matter how fast he ran. He called for me, but no sound came out. Then there was complete and total silence and darkness. He was alone with a Bible in one hand and his sword in the other. Then he heard the most loving voice, but with a great sense of urgency, say, "You need to be ready." Then he woke up in shock. He was shaking like a leaf, and he said, seeing Jesus cry broke his heart. Hearing everyone scream was hard, and watching me be pulled away, seeing the fear in my face was hard. He cried when telling me he saw Jesus weeping. He was worried about everyone else. And there were hundreds of beings, and no coincidence, in my opinion, that they were the hogs that Jesus cast demons into in the Bible. That's why demons begged Jesus to cast them into pigs. They come back to drag people to hell, in my opinion, anyway.
Wow. So obviously this is a really intense dream.
Yeah, it is super intense.
Yeah. I have to ask though, when Jesus said to be ready, it's probably obvious to some, but what do you think the be ready is? Like, and how can you be ready?
I mean, the best way to put it is you got to stop living day in, day out with worldly things and start living in the spirit. You got to get closer to God. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Nobody does. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things out there. So many people having dreams, same dreams and stuff like that. I say that it's getting closer. Mm-hmm. It may not happen in our lifetime, but it may happen in our children's lifetime. Mm-hmm. But this is a time for all these parents out there that need to start living and walking with God, mm-hmm. so that their children can learn from that and be ready for whenever Jesus does return.
And have that relationship with God.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
There is no doubt in your mind that you would go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I always doubt. But the more you read, the more secure you're going to feel in God.
Yeah.
So just read your Bible every day. Mm-hmm. Like Charlie Kirk said, you have to read it every day. This is how you meet Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
So you kind of feel like the urgency is not just to prepare yourself, but also equip and prepare your children, the next generation.
Absolutely.
How to pray, how to fast, how to dig in the word.
All of it.
Yeah.
I mean, every day, step by step.
Yeah.
We need to tell people too. We can't just be like, okay, let me just focus on my household. You got to be like John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. You got to be out preaching even when people don't want to hear it.
Right.
You keep preaching. Yeah. Even if people throw things at you, tell you to shut up. You got to keep preaching. You just got to be grounded in the word.
We deal a lot with our daughters when they have questions like that. And our response to them is we pull out the word and give them our best advice. But really, it's like, the reason we tell our kids, take a year of your life when you graduate high school, set your spiritual foundation, do an internship. Both of our oldest two have both done YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Then they take that, and for 2 months, they go overseas and surf somewhere, which for my son, it was monumental. It's so important at a young age to be exposed to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, I know you're quite the dreamer because this isn't the first dream that you've had that's been really impactful. Have you ever had any dreams that you've seen come to fruition? Or do you feel like most of the dreams that you have are for like a later season, a later time?
The only time, and I was not very obedient, the only that actually felt appointed, I was dreaming that I was in this dark room and I can hear this loud thundering voice. Like, I mean, just extremely explosive voice. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way I could explain the voice was like James Earl Jones times 1,000. Like, it was just
solid
that.
Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Darth Vader. But actually it told me to take my things, and it was literally water, my backpack, and my Bible. Mm-hmm. And go into the wild for 3 days. Mm-hmm. I made it a day. Mm-hmm. I kind of got ran out by the wild. But I stuck to my fasting. Mm-hmm. I only drank water. And I tried to still keep my my spirit, I guess, in the wild. Mm-hmm. I was actually highly disappointed that I left. Mm-hmm. But
well, next time we won't be so far into the wilderness.
Yes.
Like,
there's
it's
that.
Like 15 miles into the wilderness.
Yeah.
I was out there. But, I mean, I was...
Mountain lions live there, babe.
They
don't
do.
Like us.
But yeah. Other than that, most of the stuff seems like later events, mm-hmm. something to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. And you've also had like dreams, I know you were sharing before about when you were a child, and these dreams have stemmed all the way back to something. Do you feel like you were just born with? Or
so these dreams as a kid, it's really hard to explain. Because I would wake up and my room would just be completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. My dresser would be knocked over. Mm-hmm. My bed would be flipped. I'd be under my bed. But in my dream, I'm fighting alongside with angels and fighting demons, mm-hmm. and fighting, you know, and I don't know if that was a struggle that I was dealing with because my childhood wasn't so good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I've always been told. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But now it's different. Like, it's more... What's the
like
word?
You feel like it was like a you are meant. I truly believe like you're going to be one of God's generals, like in the army, mm-hmm. like you're going to be leading things because you were fighting demons and men in your dream, right? Yeah. When you were a kid.
No, not when I was a kid. No.
Just demons. Okay. The one he recently had, he was fighting demons and men.
Like it was
people
both
who,
demons and men attacking.
I'm gonna
were
guess.
They demons inside of men,
nope.
or fighting
side
alongside?
By side? Side by side. It was completely different. It was like you had Lucifer. You had his guys, and then you had God's guys that didn't follow God.
You
just
mean like,
evil
not
men.
God's guys. You
well,
mean
no,
like,
I mean God's children that didn't follow him.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
Technically, if they don't follow him, then they follow Satan.
They're
still, they were helping the demons try to defeat God's army.
That's interesting. So like lukewarm Christians.
Wow. Yeah.
What does that scene look like?
The like best I can, I can almost smell it when I was dreaming. Charred. Like everything is charred. Just everything is burnt.
That's really crazy. I have to ask, as a child, having dreams of demons, Did that traumatize you?
Oh,
did
it terrified
you see
me.
Them just in your dreams?
I remember him talking about how he saw a black thing with a tail crawling across
not
the ceiling.
Not black. It was gray, nasty looking varmint.
Ugh. So it wasn't even like what we would perceive a demon to look like. It was like an animal.
Kind of like an imp. Like a hybrid.
That reminds me of that dream you had.
I wish I could explain it because, I mean, this thing had horns coming out of its head, naked as a mole rat.
Small,
yes. And
I got shivers. Amina has seen this in a dream.
She absolutely has. You have to tell yours.
I'm dying right now.
And I've seen this in real life. I've seen this thing in real life. Like
Your sister even saw it.
My sister saw it.
She yelled for Nick, like, hey, come here. There's something in here.
Like, I constantly had said, guys, there's something in this house. Like, nobody would believe me. And my sister finally seen it for herself. Like, I don't know if God just said, here's the eye so you guys can listen to him. Or what? Because she never saw it again after that.
Okay, when you saw this, what was the essence? Like, did you feel anger or fear? Or was there a certain feeling that it was emanating when it was around?
I was always angry because I always felt like it was there to taunt me.
Oh my God.
Like, always felt like it was there to taunt me. Like, constantly. And my dad.
My stomach is dropping right now. You don't even know. Go ahead. Keep going.
My dad did drugs in the house. He not only just did them, but he sold them. He was in cahoots with, we're not going there.
He's in deep.
It was very, very deep.
Yeah.
And it was constant. And it wasn't just that. There was sexual immorality going on in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, there was constant sin after sin after sin. And the sad thing is my siblings fell into it as well.
Satan is after our children.
Oh, yes.
He's been after them since day one.
Yes.
That's why God says children are precious in his eyes.
Yes.
You know? And Jesus, Satan hates that.
Yes. And out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, it says that his praise is perfected. And from that young of age, they are giving off worship to the Lord. So it's no wonder there is a war on our children. They're so innocent. Okay. I have to share this now because you put it out there,
yep,
Nick. So
good
job. I was pregnant with our oldest son, and I had this dream that I was back in the house that I grew up in as a kid. I hated that house. There was war in that house. There was unrest. I was always sick to my stomach in that house. You never knew what was going to happen. Any noise, like a key falling or a book falling, it just would set me off into like panic mode. I had PTSD really as a kid. I didn't know how to define it, but I was just scared of every noise. So I was back in this house in my dream, and there was no furniture in the house except for one bed in the bedroom that my brother and I used to share. And the only light in the house was from the moon shining into that room, and it shined on the bed that my brother and I were sharing. And we were kids again in that dream. I was preteen age and he was probably 8 in that dream. And I was sitting next to the bed, and I always kind of had a motherly role for him because my mom was always working, single mom. I just always wanted to take care of him, especially because of all the stuff that was going on in our house. So in the dream, I'm just like, you don't have to be afraid. God is with us. And he was just terrified to fall asleep in the dream. And so I'm just trying to, you know, soothe him, reading him a scripture. I'm like, listen, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And when I come out, I'm going to lay right next to you and we'll cuddle and fall asleep. So I go to the bathroom, and in my childhood home, there's the bathroom and there's a hall, and then there's a dining room, and there's an archway to get in, move in freely into the rooms. I'm using the bathroom. I see this thing scurry across the floor. Shorts, just like how you said, with horns. And just goes across. And you know how you see something out of your peripheral vision, but you're like, I'm not looking. I felt the presence of the thing. And my heart was just pounding. I was starting to feel very sick, very nervous. And I felt fear to a whole different level, to such a degree I couldn't even talk. I was just like I was trying to say Jesus, but I couldn't. I was just like I felt like I was being strangled with fear. This thing would come and I would always use to describe this spirit. And he was just like going like this and making a game out of it because he knew I was so afraid. And he came so close to me, to my face, and I was just frozen like this. I didn't want to look this way. I couldn't speak. I couldn't say anything. And I'm just looking straight and I feel his breath like right next to me, just breathing. And I could hear him laughing like he was feeding off of my fear. It was what, you know, this is just coming to me as I'm saying this because I've never really processed that dream. I was just like, put it in a box, throw it away. I don't even want to think about it again.
Been there.
Yes.
Been
I'm like,
there.
Yeah, so I had that, and so it was kind of interesting because we're talking about kids and we're talking about passing on spiritual inheritance to them. When our son was born, he was terrified of being alone in his room from infancy. And as he grew and grew, he couldn't even sleep by himself. We had to be with him all the time. He had to have his hand on us. Like, we could not just, it was fear. And so I'm like, time went on and I just kind of forgot. I didn't even think to correlate the dream to my son. And so as he grew up, I would, and was able to speak. I'm like, why are you so afraid to go to sleep? He's like, I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm afraid that I'm going to go to sleep and I'm never going to wake up again. It was always a war to put him to sleep.
Oh yeah.
So my brother sent me this message, and it was all about how this pastor and his wife were pregnant and the son was deathly afraid of sharks. And she's like, how are you scared of sharks? You've never seen a horror movie of sharks. Like, what is it? As they were praying about it, the Lord had revealed to her that spirit gives birth to spirit.
Absolutely.
And the enemy wants to plant seeds inside of you while you are pregnant with your child to go ahead and make a transfer of fear or, you know, whatever it is, intimidation. So he attacks the mom while she's pregnant. And we saw, and I was kind of like, is this even scriptural? Like, what are examples of this? And there was, you know, always when there was some kind of pregnancy, like the Lord, you know, when the angel revealed himself to Samson's mother to abstain from certain foods. Do not eat anything off the vine. Abstain from certain things because the child that you're carrying is going to partake in whatever you partake in. So that was such a huge wide awake moment for me because I was realizing that this is the spirit realm is so much more intense. There are so many legalities that the enemy knows. How can I get to your seed? How can I curse your child? Because we have to come into agreement with these things. And in that dream, I pretty much came into that agreement with fear by not binding it, casting it out. I wake him up in the middle of the night. I gotta go to the bathroom, check behind the door. I make him go through this whole routine. I'm so scared. So I thought that was interesting that you're sharing that about that creature.
Sure.
And it was interesting because I was doing this book study, and in this book study, this guy had explained the very same thing. Short demon, horns, sharp teeth. And in his vision, he saw these little creatures carrying Christians off by their neck on a leash. And they were being led by fear. That's what the assignment of those spirit, because you know, everything even on earth has an assignment. So does in the spirit realm, their assignment is to bring fear to God's people. And the guy was like, if they only knew how short they were and the ratio of height, they could just break out of it, but yet they're being carried away. And I'm like, that's me. I'm being carried away. I'm one of those guys.
Fear is people do crazy things.
It's, oh, yeah. It's a tool from Satan. Not
capable of like defending themselves. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it gets me.
Yeah.
I've made him go to the bathroom with me too.
Yeah.
Whenever we saw mm-hmm. the demon in our house, mm-hmm. it's always up at the very top of mm-hmm. the door frame. And we will see it in our peripheral and we'll be like, do you see that? And he'll be like, yeah. And I'll be like, don't look at it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ear to ear, if you could see it, grin. Mm-hmm. It's just this big white mouth and like hollow eyes and the rest is just jet black. Like, and that, I feel like that's why I get angry all the time. But since yesterday, like we tried to do the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I've mm-hmm. like a huge change. Mm-hmm. Like I've been in my Bible. I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
To any of the negativity in my house. So that's nice. But fear, like fear kills people. Like it really does.
Yes.
Even today. Like I know people kill people, but fear, like it just, what's the word?
Paralyzes. It's paralyzing.
Yeah. It paralyzes you.
Paralyzing. We both said that. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, I think just as dangerous as fear is in a Christian's life is the same as passivity, because mm-hmm. like I've never seen anything like you guys are describing, never mm-hmm. once. And honestly, I feel if the devil was to present himself before me, it would almost confirm that Jesus is real. 100%. You know what I mean? Where
yeah.
faith isn't needed anymore.
Absolutely.
I know. If you're showing me your face, then I know he's real. And I've never seen anything supernatural. I rarely remember my dreams.
And you witnessed me being traumatized. You
absolutely.
Had to wake me up from
no,
that.
No, I still like, I mean, I wake up.
I was literally like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
probably
she was like choking.
Scared the crap out of him. Oh. Like, what's wrong with
yeah.
my life?
I've never seen anything like that. I do believe in it. I do believe her that she's had these dreams and these
absolutely.
Experiences. And I believe you that you've had these experiences. But I'm like, why? Why am I closed off to this? You know what I mean? And it makes me wonder, though, if like passivity is just as paralyzing as fear. You know what I mean? Where it's like you're almost naive. Is that the word? Where
yeah.
you're like, I don't, the spirit world, that's not real.
I feel like that, too. I wish, I know they're scary, but I kind of wish I had these dreams because it's better than hearing nothing from God. I would love to like get the crap scared out of me so
mm-hmm.
I can get straight. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have such a hard time getting motivation to read my Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just
getting a glimpse into the spirit realm kind of lets you know what you're up against.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing with the dreams Nick has and that one that he had about you, where it's just like, okay, now I know what's holding me back, or being able to have that insight. We know that God came to many people in the Bible to give them dreams and to speak to them. And even people that weren't his own children, he gave dreams to King Nebuchadnezzar and the king during Joseph's time about the famine. Those weren't God's people, yet God gave them dreams, prophetic dreams of what was to come. It's just interesting because God's going to speak to whomever he's going to speak and deliver his message. And, you know, it happened to work out for Daniel. It happened to work out for Joseph to be able to interpret those dreams and then also be catapulted to being an advisor to the king because they were able to solve the problem of the dream. But with your dreams, you know, you said you had dreams as a child of demons and things like that. Do you feel that those gained entry into your home from your parents?
Honestly, I never really had any, advice for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody had ever fed to, you know, it's just, you're having a bad dream. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bad dream.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to bed. You know, explain my room, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His mom would get so mad at him.
Mm.
Why do you do this?
my mom actually decided to put my brother in the room with me, like move the bed. He got so freaked out in the middle of the night and left.
So this has happened more than once.
Oh, it was way more than once.
Oh,
it was
wow.
often.
Oh, wow.
It was
like
very
night often.
Probably, I'd say like twice a week.
Do you think the drugs, like the drugs, had anything to do with
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Like mm-hmm. maybe. Absolutely. I mean, that's just, that's an open door mm-hmm. all day long. That is an open door for Satan's little imps to freaking dwell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here it is. Here's your new home.
What about, you said that your dad had a lot of anger. Do you feel like anger is also something that opens the doorway to spirits coming into your home?
I will say yes. Like, I have so bad, not as much, like, now that I'm actually reading the Bible mm-hmm. and, like, trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, anger is bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me say things I don't mean. Mm-hmm. And immediately been like, I'm so sorry. Oh, I don't know where that came from. Right. I didn't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just leave if mm-hmm. I get angry. It's okay to be angry.
Right.
It's not okay to be abusive
right.
whenever you get angry.
Right.
You know? So I believe it. Like, mm-hmm. I believe it can bring on things.
It can definitely stem from anger.
Yeah.
Do you think it matters the origin of the anger? Do you think having a righteous anger is different than having an anger that hits you out of nowhere or happens as a result of being wronged? Or do you think there's a dividing line when it comes to anger, like between God and the enemy? Do you think that those are two different types of anger?
I think
or
so.
Do you think anger is just under one?
I don't think it's bottom line just anger. Like, I think there is definitely justifiable anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, through Christ, I mean, he showed anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he flipped the tables in the tent.
I was angry
when
Charlie Kirk was shot.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean.
Like, mm-hmm. that's justified anger. But I feel like I'm being oppressed. And that also makes me angry. And it's an unhealthy anger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a difference between healthy anger and unhealthy anger.
Oh, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
It's poisonous, you know? You got to be careful with what you speak. So whenever I get angry, I'm just spewing venom. And it's not of me. Like, I know it. As soon as the anger's gone, I already feel the guilt from what I just said. That's how people end up dead. They stop talking. They just listen to what's in their head. And then they start, you know, taking people out.
Yeah. No. That's, I wanted to, like, backtrack just a touch to the dreams. Because I know when she has a dream, she feels it so deeply. She writes it all down. She wants to know what it means. And I just haven't had those dreams. And I wonder, how do they affect your relationship with God? Do they, like, spur forward?
It's brought me so much closer.
Okay.
It really has brought me so much closer. Like, I've had a couple of people that she knows quite well that has kind of helped give me guidance on the dreams. You've given me some guidance on the dreams. It's actually made my hunger for God that much stronger. Like, I want to consume this whole thing. I want to know everything. And I actually decided that I'm going to start fasting every Sunday, and I'm going to use this as my meal.
Yeah. Anytime you get those hunger pains, read. That's
yeah.
The 3-day fast that I did, it was so tough. But when I actually ate so much food.
Yeah.
But I still wasn't satisfied.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. Like, I.
He said the eating hit different. Like, it didn't feel the same as whenever
didn't.
You would be full before.
Yeah.
So it was.
I mean, I still love food. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely love food.
So you had the wilderness dream of,
yes.
of you feeling God calling you to the wilderness. And then how long after that did you have this a recent dream, or did that one happen before the days of darkness?
Okay.
So you had it the night of the 19th, and this happened after you had the dream about the wilderness.
That's correct.
So do you feel like the fasting and getting yourself in a position to hear the Lord more is what brought the release of this dream? Do you feel like this one is more intense than what you've had before?
You know, honestly, I kind of been bringing this on myself because I find my mornings deeper in prayer, deeper in our daily bread, and I keep asking for more. Mm-hmm. I want more. Mm-hmm. And there was one time, like, I asked for it. I really did. I was like, I need to know what's going on. Like, there's a lot of movement in the spirit. I feel that, you know, people are actually experiencing spiritual warfare. I want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then I had this dream.
So this happened as a result of you wanting to have more insight, prompted by feelings, like feelings of heaviness. Yes. And stuff that you were feeling.
The anxiousness, the heaviness. Like, I mean, it's all over social media. Like, people are not acting like themselves. Yeah. Like, people are actually experiencing spiritual warfare, whether it's evil or good. Like, people are experiencing it.
Yes.
It's all over the place. Yeah.
So do you personally feel like heaviness, a weight, like in a abnormal way than typical?
I have, but I think it's only because I so desperately want those dreams too, because I want to know. Yeah. I even asked God, you know, I have no motivation. God, scare me into this, or whatever dream you think will kick me into gear. And I don't get it. I don't hear him. I don't see visions. I don't see dreams. And that freaks me out. Like,
it you said you saw like a spirit above the doorway of your home.
I don't think it was a spirit. I think it was a demon.
So do see stuff just when you're awake.
Yeah.
So you do have discernment. Maybe. And insight.
Like, I honestly...
Not every eye sees that stuff.
No.
I don't want...
Exhibit A.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much about... <That's true>. I don't want to say too much about your family, but... Ever since his dad died, I've been a different person. Mm-hmm. Like, I swear, it's the stuff that oppressed him as a kid, and it's like oppressing me and our children through me.
And who knows? It could be following my entire life.
His dad used to call him Prick. He wouldn't call him Nick. He would just call him Prick.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're a little Prick.
Okay, that's poor thing. So, and whenever his dad died, like, people contacted him or whatever. You know, your dad's dead. And he was like, okay, bye. So, because you know.
It's more of a blessing. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, that night, a glass flew off of our shelf and shattered.
Was it the same night?
I'm pretty sure it was the same night. I thought it was the
next night.
Well, the same night or the next night, like, glasses flew off of our cabinet and shattered. Like, and then I got mad at my baby. Mm-hmm. He was what, 2 and a half? And I was always so patient with my kid. Yeah. Like, it's like I was a different person. But I called him a prick. And I had never said that before in my life. And Nick almost lost it. He was like, don't you ever call him that again, because he had PTSD from it as a kid.
Yes.
And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't even realize I had said it. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you just called our son Prick. Mm-hmm. You don't call him that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize.
So does it feel like there's something that takes over you? Like, you know how people say, I just see red. Mm-hmm. Is that the experience you have where you just see, you just kind of black out a moment?
Yes. Yeah. Like, but I see what I'm doing. Right. And that breaks my heart, because I'm like, why are you doing this? Right. Like, why are you doing this? It's like I'm in...
You've lost control of yourself.
Yeah. It's like I'm imprisoned in my own body, watching me act out things that I would never act out. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's heartbreaking, because my kids don't deserve that. Yes. I'm really working on myself. I'm really trying to not be that person. They say children of God can't be possessed. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm possessed, but I feel oppressed. I talked to him about this. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need
deliverance.
Yes. Like, yes. I need it. And that's the difference between that anger and justified, healthy anger. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never healthy. It's always nasty.
Right. Because that anger is meant to bring destruction, where a righteous anger is meant to build up or to just, you know, fix something that's wrong and make it right. Yeah. I can totally relate to that. The immediate rush of guilt, like you said, that just comes and attacks you. And now you feel horrible. And cycles that you said you swore you were going to break as a kid, I wasn't going to repeat this. And here I am replicating, you know, this whole thing again. you know, can lead you into feeling even deeper oppressed, because now you feel like you're under the thumb of something you can't quite free yourself from. It was interesting because this was a supernatural thing that happened to me. And this was, maybe 2 months ago. I saw this video of this boy talking about, he had come out of anesthesia and he was talking about things that he was saying. Hey, did you guys see that video?
The little boy?
Yes. Talking yes. About? And his dad.
Yeah.
And can you Dad, see me so skateboarding?
Yes. Oh, dude, oh my gosh.
I cried so hard. I cried so hard.
Oh, I saw that video and I don't know what it was like. It was obviously the Lord was putting it so heavy on my heart to just start praying. So I go in my bathroom. I start praying in the spirit. Y'all, I don't know what happened, but as I'm praying in the spirit, now I shared that I had a dream of me like choking, feeling like I would, like I couldn't talk. I couldn't say the name of Jesus because of fear. That is what I was experiencing. It was like something was coming out in the spirit. It was like gagging, you know, kind of thing. I knew I was coughing something up. I didn't know what it was. It wasn't, there was nothing coming out. There was like, no, I didn't throw up. I didn't spit. It was nothing, but it was just like so deep, you know, where you just feel like something's just, what is it? And I'm just sitting here like, I don't even know what's happening because I've been trying to come out of agreement with stuff in my life too. Like I'm trying to get to the promised land. I'm trying to break generational curses, but I had experienced this like crazy experience, and it was like all of a sudden, and this sounds crazy, but I felt like the Lord was, you know, when you go to the chiropractor and he just kind of adjusts you and he moves your arm certain places and just starts to adjust and realign and stuff. That's what I was experiencing. I was starting to get after experiencing this whatever, coughing up whatever, I started feeling like the Lord's presence was so heavy on just readjusting and realigning. I told him, I feel like I'm waiting for this, these certain feelings that would always come and get me, like anxiety or fear. And it's like, there would be certain ways that my kids would scream would kind of trigger me to be like, you know, tense because of the situation I grew up in. And so it would just be like, oh, don't scream like that. Don't scream like at that level, please. And I went outside, they're splashing around in the pool and they're screaming. And I was just like waiting for that feeling to come, that, you know, brace yourself feeling. And I'm like, where is that? Where is that feeling at? And I'm just kind of like, what just happened? Like, what just happened? It was like things that typically would cause me to be anxious, like, oh my gosh, it's dinner time. I got to get food on the table. I got to, you know, just the maintenance of, you know, because he was gone and the pressure of everything on you. And it's like, why don't I feel this way? Like I'm looking at the clock, looking at a clock is a trigger for me. Hearing the phone rings, you know what I mean? All these things are triggers for me. And I realize now, I know I'm not 100% delivered on a lot of this, but I know that the Lord was giving me this certain level of deliverance. And I know, I feel like deliverance in a lot of ways is a process. I feel like there's this misconception that it's just like a one-time thing and then that's it. You're over it and then that's it. But I feel like it's like the Lord is just shedding layers off. It's just the more you come in his presence, it was like, it reminds me of when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet and Peter's like, no, don't wash me. I'm not worthy. I'll wash your feet. And Jesus is like, no, if I don't wash you, you can't have any part of me. So I have to wash you. And it's the same thing every day, us sitting in at his feet with the word, prayer, fasting. It's all letting him wash us because that is how we can have a part of him. And so we begin to take on his nature. The more we spend time with him, the more we submit. And that's a whole other thing too, is walking in submission and obedience to his word and to his ways, because that's what's going to disrupt the brokenness in our lives. When you feel the Lord's like, okay, you know, you may have had an outburst, but now I need you to humble yourself and apologize, and I need you to make the wrong right. And I've had so many of those conversations with my own kids, like, guys, I struggle, and there's things about me that I don't like about myself, and I'm working through it, and I need accountability. But that's also something beautiful that your kids get to witness, because your kids are going to have struggles. I mean, we all do, but being able to teach them, this is how we war against it. We don't receive it, and we don't, you know, glory in it. We come repentant. And if I got to repent 100 times and I'm working on it, you know, and them being able to witness that, you're also being a model for them. That is just as important as being a quote unquote perfect parent that never struggles with anger.
Yeah. Amen.
You know? Yeah.
I think I tell my kids all the time, whenever I have an outburst and I'm just being cranky for no reason and they don't understand it, they just want to jump on me and be my friend, whatever. They want to just hang out with me and get close to me. I make sure I tell them, you know, I'm sorry. That wasn't me. That was the devil it working through me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying so hard not to let that happen again. Mm-hmm. Like, I let them know that is the devil. Mm-hmm. Don't like ever fall into his temptation, and just keep going to God. And then I'll be like, you know, I'm trying to be like Jesus, and Jesus does not do this. Mm-hmm. I want you to know what just came out of my mouth, Jesus would never say, and Jesus would never make you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And he would never do that to you. And I apologize. Really, I'm really sorry. I'm going to do better. Mm-hmm. And I do. I also feel like our heart is full of emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think the devil has a demon for each emotion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why it says in the Bible, your heart is deceitful. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to it. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think there's a demon of anger. There's a demon of sadness, lust. Depression. Mm-hmm. There's a demon of lust.
A lot of other things. But I think it's more important to realize that even though you're feeling angry, you got to think of it as it's a storm you're walking through. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to walk through the storm. And it's going to get rocky. It's going to get nasty. But, you know, if you just take a minute, step back, and grab Jesus' hand, you can walk through it together.
The other night in our family devotions, Amina was teaching on the armor of God. And we were sitting there, we were reading all about the armor of God. It's so very important. Each one of those different things has such a crucial role, in that we have to wear those things. We have to have those things, or we're vulnerable, fiery darts of the enemy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's literally what he's attacking, the vulnerable areas in our life that we've left unprotected.
You got to put that chest plate on.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I want to say too, like, as you were talking, what you're also doing is healing broken images in your children, for being able to put a clear cut dividing line, like, this is not of God. Because so many times we see God the way we see our parents. And, you know, whether our parents were very judgmental or not extending grace or mercy. So it helps your kids to not put you in the same category as God and say, okay, God is different. You're giving them a dividing line. Do with this. He would never say this to you. And so you're revealing the compassionate nature of the Lord. You're revealing his mercy. You're in your mistake. You're revealing God's nature and his attributes. So I think that's just as powerful. There is no perfect people, but if we can teach our kids how to fight, how to not give in. And there are times that, yes, sometimes we give in to it. But even just putting that stake in the ground and just knowing, like, okay, I'm going to keep warring through. I'm going to keep pressing through until this doesn't come at you, until I'm absorbing the blow. So you either get the lesser form or none of it. I just, even when you're talking, I just feel like the Lord is so proud of you. I think you should know that. I really feel like the Lord is so, he sees your efforts. Like, to him, it's not meaningless. You're not under the radar. I feel the Lord's pride for you. He's just amazed. You know, a Song of Solomon says that it ravages his heart. It ravishes his heart.
That was the beautiful thing about David. He was called a man after God's own heart. And the question is why? I mean, this guy did some foul stuff. What about David makes him a man after your own heart. And it was really his willingness to depend on the mercy of God.
And repent.
Mm-hmm. Repent. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, when you fall, you repent. When you fall, you repent. You draw on that mercy and that grace, and that's how you're able to get through.
Oh, thank God, because I say sorry to Jesus every day. Anytime I do something that I feel shouldn't have done that.
And also take that moment to thank him, too.
Yeah, you're supposed to thank him in the struggles.
There's a verse in the Bible where David says it was after his sin with Bathsheba and all of that. And he actually, talking about the Lord, he says, he forgave me because he delighted in me. Mm-hmm. And you think about it and you're like, what do you know, dude?
Yeah.
Like, what do you know about God? They would call the New Testament the sure mercies of David. So you're talking about a guy who was in touch with how much God delighted in him. Like, we delight in our kids. Amina always uses this example, is when our kids, you know, have a dirty diaper or they come in from playing outside and they're just gross.
And beautiful.
Right. Gross and beautiful. But it delights us to cleanse them, to clean
absolutely.
Them. And put on our fresh jammies, you know, and all that. And it's like, that delights us. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to make us holy. What gives us the right to say he doesn't like his job, say he doesn't delight in forgiving us? But David literally said that. You forgave me because you delighted in me. And that's why, when you have that attitude of, I'm not going to sit here in shame and guilt, but I know that you love me and I know you delight in me, and that's why you forgive me. Mm-hmm. It makes us approach redemption a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's funny you say mm-hmm. that, because just today we were getting ready to come mm-hmm. over here, and I had just put fresh socks on Odin, and then he went out and then he came back and his socks are gone. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. You got to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. And then I took baby wipes and I like wiped the bottom of his feet, because he ran through, like, mm-hmm. we have cats mm-hmm. and cat litter gets on his feet mm-hmm. and I'm like, dude. So mm-hmm. I'm washing his feet, but then I started to, like, for some reason I was like, oh, like, I don't know why I was happy about washing his feet. And then I put the new socks on him and everything and new shoes, and he's like, that feels so nice. And I'm like, you're so sweet. Like, you're so precious. And instantly, like, the anger was gone.
You know, and the beautiful thing, too, is when you were doing that for your son, like, the Lord blessed you in that, too, by giving you a glimpse of how he sees you when you come to him.
I didn't think about that.
When absolutely. You come to him with your sin, when you come mirror to him image. With your kitty littered feet and your dirty socks, he's giving you a snapshot of your heart, because our earthly tendencies will be to get upset and to get frustrated. Mm-hmm. But you said you felt all of us like, no, I actually enjoyed this. It was a point of connection. You know, the cleansing process, when you're washing somebody, it's a very intimate thing, because you're getting all the nooks and crannies and you're just talking with them. You know, like, I think of when I'm washing my baby and, you know, he's babbling and you're just he's the cutest thing. You know, it's a very intimate process that the Lord wants us to invite him into. In our sin, when we're like, dang it, I'm so frustrated. He's like, no, I love cleansing you. I love washing you. This is the time where I get to reveal something of myself to you.
No, I was just saying, when she gets these words, especially from this particular book of the Bible, they're so good.
Oh.
So did you find it?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, okay. This is a
treat. Okay. I hope it is. So the word that I kept thinking of is ravished. And so I looked up the meaning, and ravished means to seize and carry off by force, fill someone with intense delight and rapture. And so I'll read it to you in that context. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. But in Song of Solomon, he's talking to his, you know, his bride, but I'm going to direct it to you as daughter. You have ravished my heart, daughter. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my daughter? How much better than wine is your love, and the scent of your perfumes than all spices. And I'm just going to say this because as I'm reading the scent of your perfumes, it's your prayers. You know, those are our incense to the Lord. Your lips, oh my daughter, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue. This is Him. Yes, this is Him declaring what is coming out of your mouth. And that thing that's coming out of your mouth is not going to be fire to tear down, but it's going to be honey. And honey is known as a healing agent. It's known as sweet. It's full of nutrients and nectar.
The primary sweetener in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. And milk are under your tongue. So, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my daughter, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Mm. So when you go to beat yourself up or get discouraged, go to Song of Solomon 4:11 and declare that over. Say, no, my lips, they will drip as the honeycomb. They are full of honey and milk. And just, I would declare that over your mouth. Speak it over yourself till you memorize it front and back.
Yeah.
And, you know, the enemy exploits it.
I actually just read the same thing like 2 or 3 days ago.
You know how you said if like you saw Satan, you for sure would know God's real. I know God's real because I can see Him in my friends. The people He put around me. Oh, I almost teared up. I don't know why. I feel so lucky for Him putting things in my life like you. Mm-hmm. Like He put you there, legit. Yeah. And I'm seriously, let's have an Amina party. Hey! I am grateful.
The Amina party doesn't stop. Yeah.
It's stopping tonight at 10 o'clock. No.
It's just, it's amazing. The people He put in my life to guide me, that is such a special gift.
Yeah.
And I couldn't thank Him more.
Well, while you're looking for that, I was going to ask too. Just going back to your dream, we talked about like the dark creatures that were snatching people up. Do you feel like that is something that can literally happen? Or do you feel like this is a metaphor of what is currently happening in the spirit realm?
I actually have not thought of it that way at all. I do pray to God that those things do not exist, but, you know.
Of course they do. Or else He wouldn't show us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you mean in the physicality world.
I mean, it could be in a spiritual sense where the devil is constantly after everybody and just picking up by the hundreds.
He drew a picture of it. Where's the picture? Is it at home?
Yeah,
it's at home. It looks like a reaper. You know, the Grim Reaper.
Oh, because see, I was thinking like a hook. I didn't think Grim Reaper.
Looks like a reaper, like, but it's not like it's not like a blade.
It's
like that one scary movie with the creature. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it just came to my brain, but like he's got really long arms and
just like a freaking a black weird gross thing, man. You don't want it touching you. It's right. Weird.
But the devil's been playing with me with that dream too. He's like, you know, that wasn't a warning for you. That's your future. You might as well give up now. And I'm not going to, of course. I will never, ever stop going after God's heart. No matter how many times I mess up, no matter how many times I fall down, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to look to God. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm never going to quit. I can't. It's too scary. Like, I already feel like I don't hear God. Can you imagine not hearing God for eternity? Mm-hmm. I can't. I won't do it. I refuse. I got chills like on my kneecaps.
It's just like that verse, righteous man falls 7 times, but 7 times he gets up. Because every time you fall, you got to get back up. That's what makes you righteous, is you trust in the Lord's goodness and His mercy and His faithfulness enough to keep getting back up again, and not just staying down and be like, forget it. I'm too much of a loser in glorifying in your sin. I mean,
been lied to.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Whenever you're just in that deep, dark spot, like it's hard to see that there's a way out. There's always a way out. Jesus is always the way out.
That light's there.
Huh?
The light's there. You just got to find it.
Yes. I thought you said the light's not there. I was like, sir, you're lying.
No.
That's a lie.
The light is there. You just got to reach out and find it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I, because I shared this on the last one that didn't turn out. But I just found your dream so interesting as well, because this was coming off the heels. Can I buy a bowel? This is coming off the heels of us reading about the, listening to this YouTube video about this woman who had a dream about 3 days of darkness, right, and that there was going to be creatures being released, and she saw them being thrown onto the earth, and she saw, and there was signs in the sky.
Listening for instructions from the Lord. And I think that was the gist of it.
I think that's like the key thing, is to not surrender to fear of what will happen in the future, because the Lord's going to equip us. He's going to embolden his people. It's like you said, we don't know what that last generation is. And also, like you said, but just staying prepared, staying in the word, staying, absolutely, you know, hungry and desiring righteousness in not just your own life, but in your children's life. And you know, because a lot of those things can freak people out. Like, oh my gosh, we need to clear the shelves and all that stuff. And it's great to be wise, but the most important thing that you want to gather is your oil, your spiritual oil. You know, you don't want to be without being spiritually bankrupt, but yet you got a pantry full of, you know, pork and beans. Right. You know, so I just, prayed after I read that. And then the next day, Chelsea sends me a text about your dream. I was like, oh my gosh. And I read it to him. And I said, what does it sound like? He's like, the 3 days of darkness, you know? And it's like, is it literal? Is it figurative? We all see in part and we prophesy in part. So it's hard to say.
I will say that during the dream, it was felt very real. Mm-hmm. Like real enough to where it shook my soul. It was very frightening. It was very sad. And I hope that it never happens.
What was the thing that stood out the most to you in that dream? What was the biggest impact?
The biggest impact was Jesus in the sky crying his eyes out for the loss of his children. Mm-hmm. The people that he died for, their sins, and to watch it wash away.
And remember whenever I told you about Odin having a dream, our four-year-old? He had two. Do you remember?
Was it the one with the, there was a couple ones. There was one about the babies.
Yeah. I'll say that one. He woke up, he had a bad dream, and I was like, you know, what's wrong? And he said, I had a bad dream. And I said, okay, you know, tell me about it. And he said that there was a big, mean man, and he was kidnapping babies. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what did he do when he kidnapped you? He said, he picked me up and he ate me. And I was like, what the butt? Like, instantly I start praying over him and like, you know, anoint. Well, I didn't have anointing oil. I was just praying over him, you know, and like going through the house and praying over the house. And there was also one where he woke up and he said, I found it. That's why I was crying.
Oh,
was And he said, Mom, you have to put the fire out. People are burning. And I said, dude, what? Because that scared the crap out of me.
Was he still asleep when he said that?
He was barely like, his eyes weren't even open, but you could tell he was waking up.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, it was just a bad dream, baby love. Like, nothing is on fire. And then he said, okay. And then it wasn't sitting right with me, so I asked him if he could tell me about his dream. He said there was fire and everyone was running. And I said, was it our town that was on fire? And he said, no, it was the world on fire. And there was a bad guy in a dark shirt and dark pants trying to take the good guy. And I said, who started the fire? He said, nobody. The bad guy turned on the fire. And so that freaked me out. Yeah, I got goosebumps again.
Girl, my knees went. My knee from the knee down just went. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm just making sure that we're all losing sensation here. Yeah.
Our four-year-old saw this. And he knew even then he had to get to the good guy.
Girl, did I send you a text back on that? Because I feel like my daughter had a dream or somebody, and it was the same thing.
You got me shook how I had many dreams, but last night I had two crazy dreams. Am I allowed to say it?
Please say it.
And this was one, and it felt very apocalyptic. Dream two, I was standing in this wilderness setting, and there was this Native American man who was standing in front of me telling me who he was and what he was going to do. His face was all jacked up. As he was talking, he was peeling his face and skin off with no pain, revealing another face and body. This one looked more angelic. All I remember him saying is that he was the one that fought Gabriel and Michael, and he will be the one to war against God. That if God thinks he's going to win, he won't stand a chance. He had the most soothing voice, like a radio show. Everyone who met him liked to hear his voice. He said he was building an army so great, as he continues to rip the flesh off of the side of his hip. God couldn't stop it. I was starting to fear if the prophecies were true, that God was going to win in the end. I got really afraid, but I just stood there listening because his voice sounded so nice, but what he was saying had me struck. He then transformed into a vampire-looking thing. All I could see was his face, and it was pale. Then I was overhearing a conversation about these men while I was furniture shopping. They were doing a podcast in the store talking about how TikTok is a spell and was developed by someone who knew psychological warfare. That it was sad how many hours people invest in numbing themselves, and that people need to wake up and get off their phones because it's a spell and a trance. And girl, it is. And then you said there must be some kind of heightened spiritual activity because my 16-year-old was all of a sudden hit with a horrible feeling. Her friend got in a car accident. Mm-hmm. She calls her right when she had the feeling. And sure enough, her friend was in a wreck on the way to the ER. Then my 7-year-old has been having crazy dreams and seeing things. The veil of heaven must be thinning. Mm-hmm. And that was in July.
Yeah,
girl, July 13th. I totally forgot about that dream when you just told me about that. And I'm like, you're talking about a good guy, bad guy war with your son. And I'm like, I know, as you're reminding me, this is why you got to write down our dreams. I'm so glad I sent you that text.
Yes, me too.
Because I forget this.
And this might be why we couldn't upload the video. It wasn't efficient enough. Or like, it wasn't enough. Like, God wanted us to talk about more things. He wanted to talk about our children dreaming. He wanted to talk about your dream. He wanted to talk about everything.
Talk about me not being able to dream.
Yes.
It's okay. You'll get there.
I can't either, man. It's fine.
I feel that, you know, dreams are very spiritual.
Mm-hmm. I remember having a kid. I remember having a dream as a kid. And it was very vivid. And I still remember it like I had it yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was probably like 7 when I had this dream. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was from God. I do not know. But it was kind of like I was in the Holocaust. But I don't know. Like, that's what it felt like. I remember just sobbing, and I was laying on my mom, who didn't look like my mom. Like, it was a different lady, but I knew she was my mom. I was laying on her and clinging to her, and an army of people came in wearing face masks and guns, and they ripped me away from my mom, and they shot me in the yard. Sorry. They shot me in the yard after I heard them go in, and my mom was screaming for me. Whew. My mom was screaming for me, and I heard them, I heard them shoot her, like I heard them kill her, and I remember just praying so hard, and then I look up, and I see the barrel in front, and like in my face, and then it's just black, like after I hear them pull the trigger, and I don't know if that was like a Jesus dream, because why would you give a dream like that to a 7-year-old, but at the same time, like that's the only dream I remember having except for like the one the other day. I don't normally remember my dreams. I just remember not caring about my well-being. I just wanted to get to my mom, mm-hmm. which is crazy because, you know, my mm-hmm. history, we mm-hmm. don't talk anymore mm-hmm. because terrible things that she did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that dream, I can remember it like it was yesterday. That dream
impacted you for all these years. I feel like there's
about
something
it out loud
there
until just now.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it to choke me up so bad because I'm not even on good terms with my mom. But I don't want her to die.
Of course.
I want her to admit what she did. Mm-hmm. And so she can say sorry and I can forgive her and we can move on. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, that's not how people work.
If I were you, I'd pray on that because that feels like there's some revelation that needs to be revealed there. That's what I think. And I think your spirit knows it too. That's why you started crying.
Maybe.
Sometimes your flesh, you know, we tend to reason things, but as we're talking, I've noticed that the Holy Spirit will make, you know, your heart tender. And when you start getting emotion, you're feeling something, that it's, there's something there, you know, your spirit knows. Yeah.
It's, man, I just want answers, you know, yeah. I feel like I can't hear God, and that scares me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on the outside. I want to be on the in. Right. I want to know what's going on. I want to know the plan. Mm-hmm. I want to run with it, yes. You know? And it's just, I don't know. It's just.
Chelsea.
I know. I don't know where this came from.
Girl.
You see why we had to do it?
Yes, I really do. Because I'm sorry. But as you're talking, I feel like I'm starting to get some breakthrough for real. Because, okay.
Ouch. Ouch.
Nick, you look like you were going to say something.
I don't remember. Oh. It's gone. I focused so hard on trying to remember what she was saying.
Our motherboard just got wiped clean. Oh, man. Guys, I'm like, this is, yeah, this needed to happen for sure. Because this is a completely different conversation than what we had yesterday. Yeah,
absolutely.
Completely different. But I feel like there is so much breakthrough in this. Yeah. There's so much, as well as yesterday. Like today was just, wow. I felt like I got some revelation and some breakthrough just from this moment.
How long have we known each other?
I've known her for like a year.
Has it been a year?
I've known you.
Because we met prior.
Yeah, we met at the pool.
Yep, we met at the park.
For some reason, I told you my whole life story.
Yeah, that same, you didn't ask same, for. Yeah.
And then you told me, and I was like, oh, cool.
Yes. We're like, oh, you've been betrayed. Okay, great.
But it's just so strange that, like, we have been strangers. Mm-hmm. In a sense, mm-hmm. But our stories kind of mash up.
Oh, yes,
like,
they do.
From like dreams to visions. Now. To personal experiences.
Yes.
Like, it's just, it's crazy how all of this is clicking. And it, to me, it just proves that the moving in the spirit around the world.
Oh, yes.
Like, it just proves to me that it's 100%. Happening everywhere.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. It's frustrating when you don't always have the answers. You don't know where the Lord is leading. You're just like, oh my gosh. And I told him, I feel like I'm just picking up puzzle pieces. It's just a little piece here. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is, but I'm just collecting them as I go.
Yep.
And I'm desperate to be able to see it. And I know the reason of that is because if the Lord were to reveal it to me, I'm just going to try to figure out how to make it happen on my own instead of waiting for him to bring it about in the right time. You know,
Have you thought of this? Yeah. How many other people have puzzle pieces to the same puzzle?
Yeah. So it's called the body of Christ.
Yeah,
exactly. I swear, I've been feeling like I've been so alone. I'm like, I must be the only one. Like, you know, because sometimes I'm like sharing things and people are looking at me like, what you're talking about, girl? Like, like, what season would you say that you guys are currently in right now? If you could put like a definition or a name to the season that you're in right now, what would it be?
Revelation, like seeing what God's revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, what would you say? Revelation is the
mm-hmm.
word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Revelations. Sorry.
I know. It's those moments.
Like, yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning. No, I. 20,
I would definitely say there's probably a mix between the tribulations and the revelations. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like people are experiencing so much sorrow out there. I mean, personally, you know, like, we've experienced attacks, mm-hmm. you know, spiritual attacks, mm-hmm. but we're also seeing things, or I guess I'm seeing things. Label me crazy. So yeah, I would say it's we're right there and on the verge of both.
I got the
revelations, and
I think we're like the whole world is waking up right now.
Yeah.
And if it, and I hate to say it because I really really admired Charlie Kirk,
mm-hmm.
but if he had to die for anything, I bet he's so happy it was the awakening of the world.
Oh.
Sorry, I got choked up again.
Yes.
But I think it is the season of awakening. Like, it took Charlie dying to wake up the world. People who have never been to church before are going to church. Like, there's people talking about there was a line. There was even a guy taking a video of the people lined up to go to church that day. And they had to put speakers in the parking lot because it was so full. How to get close like he was. Mm-hmm. And Charlie tells you, like, read your Bible every day. Like, be with him in the silent space, you know, like
it's the secret small place. Disciplines. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, we're definitely in the season of awakening.
I had my night by myself with the, it was just being a bonfire and it was just me and God. And, you know, and I prayed to him. I asked him, I was like, Lord, give me the vision. Or give me the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the tongue to speak. Right after that, I hear this pounding outside. I was like, what is going on inside the house? And so I run in and I was like, who's banging on the door?
I have to ask about this pounding. What was this, like ground shaking pounding? Was it just like the sound of your kid hitting a hammer on a toy?
It did sound like it came from inside the house, and it sounded like somebody was hitting the wall hard. Boom, and like boom,
vibration.
Boom.
Did you feel the vibration?
No. No.
Could you hear it?
I could hear the sound. And so I was like, what is going on?
And he's like, you know, did you hear anything? Like, who's banging? And I was like, it's quiet as a mouse in here. Like, our kids aren't even making noise. Like, they're just chilling. And as soon as he prayed to see, to hear, and to speak, you know, he hears these. And they were in increments of three. Like, it would be three bangs. And then it would stop. And then three bangs. And then it would stop.
And I thought for sure, I was like, this has got to be the kids jumping around or doing something in the house.
No.
Nope. Nothing.
We've heard that same thing. We had that story.
Yeah. Did you
want to go over that? No, I mean.
This is so good. Yeah. Did you want to? I was up here. Okay. I know, right? Your turn. My turn. That's crazy about the bangs. Because like he said, we experienced the same thing in our house many years ago, and it came in three. And it did. But it only happened once. It was just like boom, boom. And I mean, it shook the house. And for and you know how it kind of messed with you, because you're like, is that coming from inside the house? Did that banging, did that feel like demonic, or did that feel like it was from God? Like,
it was more of a confirmation. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, this is what you asked for.
Yeah,
here it is.
Wow.
Because I really don't feel that it was something evil. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I feel that it was just more of a
Because but he was the only one that heard it.
Yeah.
And he asked to hear. So it had to be from God.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it couldn't have been 2 minutes after I asked that. That's not 2 minutes.
No, that's.
I mean, it was insane. To me, it was confirmation.
Gosh.
Because it was three bangs in a series of three.
That's crazy. That's, you know. I'm just like, I'm digesting all of, I'm marinating in all of this. This is amazing. Just because we've had similar experiences, and sometimes you think you're going crazy. You're just like, okay, oh my gosh. And you don't share. We can't, you know, anything that I deal, hear things, supernatural things that happen, where I'm just like, I kind of keep it on the down low, because, you know, people are going to start labeling you, and then, you know, you got to explain yourself. And I really don't. It's kind of like my pearls I guard.
There's only one label that matters, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't worry about anybody else. Let them judge.
Well, here we are on the podcast.
Let them judge.
I went from 0 to 100 really quick. Oh my gosh. Well, is there anything that you feel message-wise this world needs to know? Like, if there is something you feel like from your dreams, experiences, that you feel is going to help navigate somebody to the foot of the cross, what?
Yeah. You'll lose it if you don't.
I know. Okay. Oh, gosh. Oh, you gave me anxiety. I think I lost it. Okay. Don't ever stop trying. Like, no matter how hard you fall away from God, it takes one prayer to be right back at him again. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going, like, just keep trying. There's no amount of shame. There's no amount of guilt. There's no amount of anything that could keep you from God, because he will always, always, always respond. If you are, like, sincere enough, like, you, he will hear you.
Yeah.
And I always feel like, you know, Jesus doesn't hear me. Like, I really do. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't hear him. He doesn't hear me. He can hear you. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you're not hearing him for a reason. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out what that reason is. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're just not ready. I don't know.
And also, you know, to the people that have never tried to reach out for Christ, it's not too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. he's always there. And he is literally waiting for you to just reach out, grab him. And if you're scared of what people might think, you know, how people might judge you, your friends, because they, you know, they're your peers, forget about that. Because could you imagine if you were wrong about being, you know, Christ not existing?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if you were wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What that could mean for your internal soul?
Yeah, like his friend had even asked him, hello. His friend had even asked him, you know, what if you're wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you're wrong about God? So what if he's wrong?
Yeah.
His body will go to the earth, be eaten by worms. That's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they're wrong?
Right.
They're going to be wrong. In hell for eternity.
Right.
And don't like
the take price that, is greater.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And don't take that as like an attack. Jesus doesn't want you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. If you don't want to be with Jesus, Jesus isn't going to make you come with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because hell was created for Satan
mm-hmm.
and the angels that followed him.
Yeah.
That's what hell is for.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to be with God, where else are you going to go?
Right.
Charlie Kirk used to ask people, he's like, they'd say, well, I'm an atheist. And his first question to them was always, do you hope you're wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hope you're wrong?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is absolutely
perfect. Yeah, I heard him ask Bill Maher that. Well, Bill, do you hope you're wrong? They never know what to say.
I mean, life is too precious to play the what if game.
Yeah.
It's way too precious.
And that's why Jesus like wept in his dream.
Oh, yeah.
Because like he knows he's never going to see you again.
Yeah.
Like he's never going to talk to you.
No, we think we have to come to the Lord in a censored way.
Nah, Jesus is all about heart.
He is. Guys, I like you said, I one night I was just so frustrated. I'm just like, I'm tired of fighting. Like and I think that was the first time I ever was so honest in my prayer where I was just like, I'm so frustrated at you. I can't even, I'm tired of the riddles. I'm tired of the puzzles. I'm tired of
the parables.
Right. I'm tired of the parables.
Boom,
I'm like, can you throw me a freaking bone here? Do you not see that? And I'm having this full on breakdown, meltdown prayer conversation with the Lord. And I'm just like, I'm going to get struck down dead. And it was funny. Because my friend, she had posted, on Facebook, this, it was everything that I was afraid that I lost in that conversation with the Lord. In essence, it's talking about how you're God's girl. And don't be afraid that you've ever lost that place of being his girl. And that's pretty much what my whole frustration was. It's just like, I don't even know where I stand with you. It's like, I feel like fire and brimstone is constantly raining down. Something's always busted up in our house. Like every time we try to take 5 steps forward, we're taking 20 steps back. And then it's like, it's exhausting. You don't want to advance. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't even know if the promise is real anymore, like I don't even know what I'm holding out for anymore. And quite honestly, I feel like I'm holding out for a dream that I had 9 years ago. There's this dream that I'm waiting to be that woman that I dreamed of. You said in your dream, Jesus, the sky was torn.
Yeah.
And you heard Jesus praying or crying. And there was an emphasis on him weeping.
Yeah, it was
so much that it broke, touched
it. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
It literally broke my heart. And I can't even understand the feeling that it made me feel like. I mean, you could take your first high school love and she breaks your heart, mm-hmm. and that wouldn't even come close to it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't even come close. And I'm everybody in this room has felt that. Mm-hmm. It was just, I can't even explain that. Like, I mean, I cried for a whole day pretty much.
The reason for the emotion, was it because you felt the heart he had for his people, or was it just because you saw, you know, it broke your heart for witnessing him so heartbroken? Or was it a little bit of both?
Hey, it's got to be both.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the kind of power that heartbreak had was so overwhelming.
Wow. Yeah. What we feel on earth is nothing like the love that's.
Oh, no. I've actually heard that. People talk about having dreams when Jesus would just hug them and they have never felt a love so strong. Mm. You know, like, my wife is my soulmate and I can't wait till Jesus gives me a hug. Mm-hmm. Just so I can feel that love.
I want to say, because, you know, there was that emphasis in your dream on Jesus's heartbreak and his emotion and hearing him crying. Like, that's such like an intimate space that the Lord brought you into. Like, I know for me, I don't like people. I don't like crying in front of people. It's such an intimate thing for me. I always reserve that for when I'm alone. So for the Lord to reveal to you him crying, I feel like that's such an invitation for such great intimacy to really get to know his heart.
I'm after that heart.
Yeah. When that part just stands out to me the most because, you know, I alluded a little bit to the dream that I had 9 years ago. I was dressed like, you know, how Mary, Mother Mary is depicted in the blue. Yeah. And I was living in the ancient times of Jerusalem. I knew it was Jerusalem because that's where everybody was going for the Passover. And it was like I had full knowledge of my life in the past. Like, I knew how to cook. I knew my customs. I had full knowledge of this life. And I was pregnant in the dream and I began to go into labor. And I told Adrian, oh my gosh, you need to go get the midwife because it's time. And as I'm going into labor, there's all this commotion happening out in the streets. I'm like, I feel the life on this right now. I'm feeling like heavy as I'm sharing this. There was so much commotion happening in the streets and people were shouting, people were screaming. There's so many emotions happening. And I went to just shut my window because it was like, I didn't even care. And as I went to shut it, I saw Jesus walking with his cross down. It was the crucifixion was happening right outside my home. And so I ended up dying in my dream, and Andrew and the midwife end up coming and they see me laying on the floor, and I heard their conversation, and the midwife's like, we can do our best to try to save the baby, but you know, there's no promises. And Andrew was very adamant with her that no, he wanted me to be put in the ground hole. He didn't want me cut. And so they got the sheer garment, like a linen cloth or whatever, and they wrapped me up in it, and Andrew carried me. And in those days in my dream, there was mass graves, and so you would just put the dead inside the mass grave. So they went ahead and put me in there with a bunch of other people. Once it got full, go ahead and fill it up. They put me inside of the grave, and the scene instantly switches to Jesus on the cross. And it's like in my dream, all I see is like this of his face, and I can hear him struggling to breathe. I hear him just like crying on the cross as best as he could, because he couldn't fully cry because he couldn't breathe. And I heard blood gurgling in his throat. It was just very intense, that scene that I saw. And it was just, all I could see was this. It was just like, and that stuck with me. I don't even know the right kind of word to say, but I could just hear like, you know, like this kind of sound. As soon as he took his last breath on the cross, that I saw the breath, like the breath had like a it wasn't a body, but you know, it had a presence. You saw it. There was some visibility to this breath. And it went and it shot out. And I followed the breath in my dream, and it went and it just punched me in the chest while I was in the grave. And I woke up and I was just like, you know, it was just like a violent breath that came inside of me.
So his last breath. came into her.
It became my first breath. Yeah.
Wow.
So my labor kicked back up again. And so Andrew and the midwife, they ran down there and they pulled me out of the grave. And as soon as they pulled me out of the grave, now I'm back in this time period. And throughout the dream, the Lord kept telling me, you remind me so much of my mother, Mary. You remind me so much of my mother, Mary. And I kept saying, that is blasphemy. That is not of the Lord. God, no, I do not. No, I'm not Mary. Far from Mary. Like, doesn't it say she's like virginal? And, you know, I just had this, I'm just like, no, I can't receive that. He would keep saying it. You remind me so much of my mother, Mary. You remind me so much of my mother, Mary. And so, yeah. And it's, and so I had this heaviness all over me in the stream. I was just struggling with depression, struggling just, you know, I was just struggling. I was struggling with my identity, essentially, you know. And so in the dream, we had our baby, the one that we had back in the day. And he was 2 years old at this point, and he didn't have a name. And everybody kept asking me, when are you going to name the baby? What's the baby's name? I'm like, well, I don't want to name him because there's something special about him. He has the likeness of Jesus, but the calling of John the Baptist. I want to name him Jesus, but I feel like that's blasphemous. And there's only one Savior. And I want to name him John, but I just, it's not, his name's not John. I'm waiting till God reveals to me his name. And so as I'm doing the dishes, the Lord tells me again, you, and for whatever reason, as I was doing the dishes, I was just so broken down in my dream. I was at my wit's end. I was just like on the verge of, I'm done. And again, I heard him say, you remind me so much of my mother, Mary. And I was like, Lord, if this is what you say of me, then I receive it. And immediately he said, Salvador, his name is Salvador. And I said, what? Salvador. He released to me my baby's name. And I was like, what? As soon as I said Salvador, all the depression, all the anger, all the fear, all of it, it left as soon as I said that name. And I was immediately filled with joy. I was like laughing. I was like, oh my God, you know, you don't know you're empty until you're filled, you know? And it was that feeling like, oh my gosh, I was so empty. I was barren. I was a wasteland. And the Lord literally filled me with his joy. And I started, there was so much energy inside of me that I started running, and I start running down in the streets, and I'm just shouting, salvation is here. Salvation is here. Everybody, salvation is here. And I'm just running, and I'm going to look for my son. And the other interesting thing in the dream was I kept telling people, he's different than all my other kids. He understands things on a different level. Like he's different. I end up seeing my son standing on the beach. He's 2 years old and he doesn't know how to talk. And I shout to him, Salvador. And he turns and he looks at me like he just had this knowing, like, yeah, that's my name. But he couldn't verbally talk. And I go to grab him. And then my older son is standing next to him. And there's like this phenomenon on the beach where all the fish are out of the water and they're on the shore. And my son was like, Mom, look at what's going on. Like something's not right with the earth. It's like it's rebelling. And I said, it doesn't even matter. Salvation is here. It was like I was void of all fear. I didn't even care what was going to happen. I knew it was like I had a knowing there was going to be trouble ahead. But I was so filled with joy that it was like, it doesn't even matter. Like we have the answer. I ever since I had that dream, I've been like, is Salvador real? And it was funny because I didn't catch it until I was describing Maverick to someone. I'm like, yeah, he's different than all the other kids. And I was like, oh my God, my dream. Like he understands things, different things. God, I want to feel that. I want to be that girl that is so fearless and bold, that is shouting in the streets that, you know, when does that happen? Like, how do I get to be her? I want to be her when I grow up. But when you shared about Jesus ripping the sky and you connecting so strongly with his heart as he was weeping, it reminds me of that dream.
This that dream is so loaded, but that part where he breathes his last breath and it comes into her, I'm just like, my friend a good friend of mine got saved because he had a dream. In the dream, he was living terrible at this time. And the Lord took out his heart and took out my friend's heart and replaced it with like his heart. That's JD.
I want a dream.
That's how he got saved. And he was completely different. And to this day, he's like, I mean, great brother in the Lord, awesome guy, but this dream literally changed his life.
The part that stuck out for me for your dream is all the agony, every bit of pain that Jesus was going through in your dream and still had the love to send a breath your way to bring you back.
Right.
I mean, that is, it's a dream, but it still proves the love of God. You know, nobody's going to do that as they're going through anxiety and anxious, massive pain.
Yeah.
Like, I
couldn't even imagine. The breath was so directive. The breath had a mission. It knew right where it was going. It wasn't just like, oh, I need to find somewhere for this to go. It was very missional because it traveled with such force.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's.
Yeah, we definitely had to do this podcast.
We really did.
We thought the devil doesn't want the message out. No, guys. Jesus just wanted it to be perfect.
He wants more.
More. Like,
yeah.
We should do live sessions with the Clarks on like Sundays or something. I don't know. Seriously. That would be fun.
That'd be awesome.
That would be fun. I think this is great. I feel like we just kind of, it's just so mesh. Organic. Yeah. There's a flow. It's a flow. One person says something, another person's catching it.
And then it triggers something. It does. The other person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That dream definitely needed to be said. Yeah. And the one you said before that, which I will remember.
About yours?
Yours.
My. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Guys. Okay. You know what? I want you guys to close us out in prayer. And you know what? Since you have.
It's more of an excitement.
Good. You know, since you have the anointing and the gifting of dreams, there's so many that want that to be activated. Why don't you also pray for that to be activated in people that are listening and even people at this table so that we can all get a taste of that.
Absolutely.
It's
our turn.
Yeah. Right. You guys take it away. Right. This is all you.
Lord God, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for every blessing that we receive every day. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I mean, I hope this reaches the people that you wanted to reach. Mm-hmm. And God, I ask for you to please put your blessing hands over both our families and guide us through our constant battles in spirit, because they are coming and you know that you're preparing us. And God, if you can, please give your gift, your so loving gift of sight and tongue and hearing.
Yeah.
And God, please just anoint us with that spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And real quick, let us use the breath that you gave us to breathe into other people.
Oh, girl.
Amen.
Like, that was profound.
Chelsea, I don't think you really know how anointed you are, girl. Like, for real. You guys be talking and my heart is just like, that way, guys. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you on the next week's episode.
And remember to rebuild your ruins.